Broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. In the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve, welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning with verse 25. And there went after our Lord great multitudes, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mark him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for thy precious word, and we thank thee that you do not leave us in doubt as to thy commands and thy demands, and what thou dost desire us to be as thy disciple, and that which you're going to make us by thy marvelous sovereign grace. And so we do pray that by thy Spirit this word will go home to hearts in Radio Land today in power and much assurance. And as each and every one of us hear thy word, it'll find a lodging place in our hearts, and we will understand what thou dost work by thy grace in our hearts, by thy Spirit. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We indeed appreciate God has caused you to listen today, and that in His providential mercy and grace you're with us. And I do pray that by the power of His Spirit, His Word will go home to each and every one of our hearts. Will you pray with me that God will use this Word to our hearts today? Have you written for your free book that we're offering this month entitled Studies in the Person and Work of Jesus Christ by W.E. Best? It is the doctrine of Christ's impeccability, His inability to sin. It is the doctrine of the pre-incarnate Christ, the incarnation of Christ, His virgin birth, the humanity of our blessed Lord, His impeccable life, His power to draw disciples, His teaching, His miracles, His death, His present headship, and His kingship. This book was written for you and I, and is one of the most blessed books I have ever read. I've read it 3 times, regarding the person and work of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, our Lord and Savior. Now, I want you to have a copy of this book. It is free and postpaid, and we'll be happy to send it to you if you'll write for it. A little book of 129 pages, and I do desire to put it in your hands if you'll write for it. Remember, it's free. Ask for it by name, Studies in the Person and Work of Jesus Christ. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. My dear friend, you know that in the past weeks we've been bringing messages to your hearts, messages of warning against this false gospel of carnal Christianity, which has swept like wildfire through Christendom in these last decades and is still damning more souls to hell than seemingly any other of Satan's subtle lies and subtle tricks. In these messages, we have been showing the fruits that grow on the tree of this false gospel as they're described in 2 Timothy 3:1-7. We have brought before you a description of these fruits and the lives of those who bear these fruits under 3 headings. First, we showed you that their behavior is all wrong, described under the words and expressions blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, traitors, and heady. Second, we showed you that if their behavior is all wrong, then of course their opinion is all wrong, described under the words and expressions, boasters, proud, high-minded, and despisers of those that are good. And then third, we began to discuss with you that their affection is all wrong, and of course it is, because if their behavior is all wrong, and their opinion is all wrong, then their affection is in the wrong place. It is all wrong. And it is under the words and expressions, without natural affection, lovers of their own selves, covetous and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, that this third description, their affection is all wrong, has been described. Now, in our last message, we looked at the expression, without natural affection. So let us move on today to the last 3 expressions under this heading. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, my dear friend, I do desire for you to keep in mind what we have been stressing throughout these messages on 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it is this, that the Holy Spirit is not here describing the world, but is describing professed Christians who have a form of godliness, but deny the power of the gospel of the grace of God to save, to keep, and break the power of sin in their lives. The apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is describing those who have been deceived by this false gospel of carnal Christianity in believing that they can live in sin and yet go to heaven. Yes? These words here in 2 Timothy 3 describe those professors of religion who have never known repentance, who have never known Holy Spirit conviction, who have never known the power of the blood of Christ to deliver from the power as well as the penalty of sin, and therefore they have never been made new creations in the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby they are enabled by the grace of God to persevere in a life of righteousness and true holiness. In looking at the three things mentioned in this category of sin, which are the fruits of this false gospel of carnal Christianity, we notice that they have to do with the affections. Lovers of their own selves, covetous or lovers of money, and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And we desire for you to pick up ears and listen today, praying that the Holy Spirit will drive these truths home to our hearts and write them upon our mind, in our understanding, and upon our heart, that is, in our affection, so that our wills will be affected by these things, and then we will know and understand the things that God hates and warns us against, and we'll know and understand the things that are made for our peace. Listen now. The first of these expressions, lovers of their own selves, heads the list of all the sins mentioned in the category given here, these categories given here in 2 Timothy 3. And this leads me to believe that where a man's heart is, there his affections will be also. And where a man's heart is not broken from the love of self, then his life is filled with all the other sins which we have described in this series of messages. You see, dear friend, selfishness is a sin God hates, and one from which He saves us when He gives us His new life in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, which reads that when we are born again by the grace of God, He makes us new creations in Christ Jesus. For all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Listen now. The Word of God calls us to a life of self-denial. It calls us to a life whose affection is set on things above, not on things on the earth, according to Colossians 3:2. Therefore, when we read the four Gospels, we listen very intently to our Lord as He speaks to His followers over and over again. And He says that they are to be lovers not of self, but they are to forsake their ways and their self-esteem and the love of self. He's against this matter of lovers of self or selfishness. And now as we go into these scriptures, I will let you decide if a man whose life is bent after this sin and whose life is controlled by this sin is truly a child of God and not rather a deceived soul who has been deceived by this false gospel of carnal Christianity. In Luke 14:26, we hear our Lord giving us these startling words, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." I said, "Pastor, that's startling." And it is. But these are the words of the eternal Son of God. And He cannot lie. He says, if any man come to me, if he's going to be a follower of mine, if he's going to be my disciple, he must hate his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, or he cannot be my disciple. In other words, in comparison for his love for me, to follow me in this present evil world, than it is as if he hated his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. But beloved, this is not the only place where our Lord speaks along this line. Listen to what he says in Matthew 16, verses 24 through 25. There we hear him say it again, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Aren't those startling words? If I seek to deny myself by not practicing self-denial in the Christian faith, then I'm going to lose it all. Really, I have saved nothing. I've lost it all. But if I will lose my life for Christ's sake, and I will cease to be a lover of self, a lover of my own self more than a lover of God, then I will keep my life in the life eternal. That's what he says again in John 12:25. He says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Did you hear what he said? He that loveth his life shall lose it. Alright, go on pampering your life. Never becoming a self-denying one. Doing what you think is best to satisfy the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, then you're going to lose that life that you have sought to save and love. But he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Listen now. What our Lord is saying here in these scriptures and in many others that we could read to you is that there is no place in his kingdom for lovers of their own selves. That is selfishness. For you see, his kingdom is made up of those who love him supremely and deny and hate themselves. He that loves his life better than Christ shall lose it. But he that hates his life in this world and prefers the favor of God and an interest in Christ before his own life, my friend, he shall keep it unto life eternal. And this is what the scriptures teach. We see here in these scriptures the total consequences of an inordinate love of life and an inordinate love of self. You see, many a man hugs himself to death and loses his life by overloving it. He that so loves his animal life, his animal passions, as to indulge his appetite and make provision for the flesh to fulfill the flesh thereof, shall thereby shorten his days and shall lose the life he is fond of. And he shall not inherit an infinite better life, and that is the one that is in Christ in glory after this death. He that is so much in love with the life of this body and the ornaments and delights of it, as for the fear of exposing it or denying Christ for it, he shall lose it. That is, lose a real happiness in the other world while he thinks to secure an imaginary one in this world. This is what is so deadly wrong with this false gospel of carnal Christianity that produces this fruit of lovers of their own selves, selfishness. It preaches that we are living in an enlightened age and we are to love ourselves. We're to love money and to love pleasure, for did not Christ come to give life and that more abundantly? Or are we not kid the king's kids, and should not the king's kids have the best in this life? Yes, our Lord said that he came to give life and that more abundantly. But remember, he came to give spiritual life and to give it more abundantly to his people. Not a life of abundance of material things that lets us love self and money and pleasures to the damnation of our souls. No, he came to give us that life which is more abundantly in himself. Follow me now. I know that the carnal professor who desires to stay in his sins and tries to make the best of both worlds says, But doesn't God tell us to love our neighbor as ourself? And how can one love another unless he knows how to love himself? For you know that unless a person learns to love himself properly, he will never learn to love his neighbor. But, dear friend, don't be fooled by all this carnal reasoning, even though it sounds very plausible, for the Scriptures do not teach this. The reason men and women use this carnal reasoning, twisting the words of our blessed Lord in Matthew 22, 34 through 40, to teach something that he did not say, is not in order that they may love their neighbor more, but that they may indulge in the things and pleasures of this life. Face it fairly and squarely, and get down to the root of it, and you find that this is your motive. It is this way that you blunt the sharp edge of our Lord's words concerning self-denial and selfishness. In this way, you can indulge your fleshly appetite and your fleshly desires to embrace another man who is not your husband, or another woman who is not your wife, or to forsake the responsibility of family and children and home, and live in a world in which you are the king or the queen. Oh, but I must find myself, and I must find my roots, and I must have self-esteem, and I must... Yes, and you must have all of this, and you'll go to hell with it, too. And the sad part about all of this is that you still say that you're saved. You still have a form of godliness while you live only for self. Let me give you a description of this out of Scripture, will you? Listen to the Scripture view of this as illustrated in the life of Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Christian, the child of God, the missionary. In Philippians 3, 4 through 5, he said, I have plenty self-love and self-esteem and confidence in the flesh. But what things were gained to me, this self-love and this self-esteem and this confidence in the flesh, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, that is, my self-love, my self-esteem, and my self-confidence in the flesh, and do count them but dung, refuge, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Then again in Romans 7, 9, we hear the Apostle Paul saying, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. I died to my self-love and my self-esteem and my self-confidence. I saw myself to be nothing but a hell-worthy sinner abiding under the just wrath of God. And my friend, the Apostle Paul, carried this estimate of himself all through his life till he died. For even after Paul's salvation, he spoke of himself in this way. We read in 1 Corinthians 15:9, where he said, I am the least of the apostles. In Ephesians 3:8, we hear him saying, I am less than the least of all the saints. In 1 Timothy 1:15, we hear him saying, I am the chief of sinners. And finally, in 2 Corinthians 12:11, he says, I am nothing. No self-love here, no self-esteem here, no self-confidence here, but one who has learned the first beatitude very well. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I have nothing. I am nothing. I know nothing, I can do nothing. Watch how he came to see himself as he grew in grace. The least of the apostles, less than the least of all the saints, the chief of sinners, and finally, I am nothing. So our Lord spoke the truth in John 12:25 when he said, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And my friend, I ask the question, are you a lover of self more than a lover of God? Are you high in your self-esteem and your self-love and your self-confidence? I don't care from what pulpit you've heard that. I don't care from what great evangelist or great preacher you might have heard all of those expressions. They are expressions born in hell. For that is the doctrine of this carnal Christian theory. Lovers of self more than lovers of God. And God said, he that does not deny self and follow me cannot be my disciple. I'm warning you today, it is the fruit of this false gospel of carnal Christianity. The gospel of the grace of God says, blessed are the poor in spirit. The man says, I am poor in spirit. I am nothing. I have nothing. I know nothing. I can do nothing apart from the grace of God. And therefore he does not love his life. He hates his life in this world, and therefore he will keep it by the grace of God into the life to come. My friend, I believe you've listened, and I believe God has taken this word home to your hearts, and I trust that you'll write us and tell us that God has dealt with your heart, and you'll want a copy of these messages, and so write for them. They're free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. My friend, we're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.